It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Hey, good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend, first weekend of December. Bob's back out of the woods and sitting in a chair 2 weeks in a row. So that's what it happens when you get a little venison in the freezer. That's a good thing.
That's right.
But I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, you sound about like I sound. The cold season's here. So time to get the Zicam and drink tons of orange juice.
Yep.
And
those little cutie oranges or tangerines or whatever they are, I'm jamming those like they're candy right now, trying to knock out this junk that I got. But I'll live through it. I have. So.
I think it's about time for the oranges to start showing up from Florida too.
Yeah, maybe. Yep.
Yeah.
Could
but,
be.
Boy, she got cold quick.
Yeah. Yes, it did. It was all of a sudden this week we had some like teens going on, and I had all the hoses in, so that was good, but I wasn't quite ready for it.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Getting those things unplugged.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have all frost-free spigots anyway, but
yeah, I do
you
too,
never know.
Right.
You never
but
know.
If the hose is still hooked to them, something's got to go somewhere.
And
right?
If it's, yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
So I have been predicting it's going to be a tough economy, and I confirmed it the other day. I talked to a fellow from Costco, and he said, yeah, we've stopped all hiring.
Yeah?
They're a big indicator because, and that's a lot of volume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're always hiring.
Right. They do huge amount of volume. Yeah.
So, anyway.
That's their whole play, low margin, high volume. And after church on Sunday, they open at 10, right? And church gets out about 10:30. So sometimes we'll drive from church over to the Costco that's near there. And lo and behold, that place is packed in the first half hour on a Sunday morning. I mean, like every car spot in the lot. And it's like, holy cow, these guys just plow out the dough. I've got a friend that works there as well. And he's heard many, many times it's their million-dollar days. At Costco,
wow.
That they'll sell $1 million worth of product out of the store every day.
When I was at Home Depot for a while there, we would have $500,000 days.
Yeah, yep.
That's big.
Yeah, it is. That's a lot of stuff. But think about it. You go there, and you know you don't ever come out of there less than $100. A lot of times it's
400. Yeah. 400 for me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think I'm going to do two, and it ends up four.
Yeah.
We've done $600 trips there.
Right, but you know what? You get a lot of stuff, and when you're feeding a lot of people, it's not all food, but most of the time that's what we focus on.
And I get all my meat from Sobeys, so it's not even meat.
Right, exactly. Yep.
I mean, I got some out of the woods this year, and I was just talking with my brother. He took a trip out to Montana and shot a big cow elk, and he's going to bring me some steak to our family Christmas.
Well, there you go.
Which is just in a couple weeks. He asked me if I wanted any meat, and I said no. I called him back this morning on my way into the studio, and I said, hey, when you come to Christmas, throw some of those steaks in the freezer because I love venison steak.
Right.
I mean, elk in particular,
mm-hmm.
which is a little better than whitetail.
Right.
And moose is a little better than elk.
Yeah.
And I don't think it gets any better than moose.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're a big animal, and they got a lot of it.
There's more, yeah.
Yeah.
He shot a cow, too, so imagine it's pretty tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And, I shot a doe. And I canned the entire thing. I don't know if I talked about that last week or not, but I can't wait to have some. Everybody's all excited. No, I've never canned any. I want some of that. It's like, yeah, well, just go shoot one.
Yeah, right. And we'll can yours, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a young doe, but I'll tell you what. I sauteed. I cubed it. Well, I of course, field dressed it, brought it back to camp the next day after my rifle hunt. Because the next day was rifle season, I skinned it and cut it up, had some lanterns out there at night, and I put it all in a cooler.
Ooh, those are some cold hands.
Yeah.
If you were cutting at night.
Yeah. And the deer had already cooled down.
Yeah.
So it wasn't going to warm me up in the process.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I cubed that thing up when I got home the very next day, and sauteed it in my biggest cast iron, my 22-inch. You've got one too, a Lodge. And I used garlic EVO from Old World and fresh garlic and thyme from my garden. I went out. My thyme is still growing out in the garden.
Well, probably not now after the frost.
Well, yeah, good time to pick it if you're going to pick any. I've got a ton of it. But so I put fresh thyme and garlic and a little salt and some black pepper on it, sauteed it. I could not put it in the bowl. Every time I'd get one piece done, I'd just throw it in my mouth. And I'll tell you what, I must have ate a good half pound of of it that day when I was doing it. It was so delicious and so tender. And I was talking with my brother about that, and I said, I don't think I've ever tasted a deer as tasty as this. And he said, you know, I think the deer in Michigan are just getting better.
Yeah.
But I think also we process them better.
Well, it's a clean environment, and you're making sure all the silver skin and the hair and everything is gone, right? Yeah.
Oh, no, we love the hair.
Yeah, right.
No, but I think what I did by quartering it and bagging it, it was allowed to bleed out a lot better in a couple days.
Yeah.
And it's the blood that gives it that metallic taint, you know, you get that little taste of metal. If you can get that thing to bleed really well, you'll get rid of all that.
Yeah, and hang your head down and
well,
some time,
Or quarter it up and bag it and put it in a cooler. Because we got a lot of coyotes anyway, and cougar, and I'd hate to lose it after all that work.
Yeah. Changing the subject a bit, over the holiday weekend, I had a couple cooks. I did a funeral celebration of life, and I did an anniversary game for a hockey club. And both of them wanted butts. So we spoke a little bit earlier about it being really cold out. And I've got that big Goodwin smoker, which is an offset iron smoker, all made out of steel, rather. And boy, I tell you what, it was a chore to get that thing up to temperature and keep it there overnight. And, you know, the celebration of life thing was at 11, so I had to cook all night. I went to U-Haul and rented moving blankets, and but they can get it's crazy. You can get a bag of six of them for $5 to rent, and so I grabbed those things and I blanketed the smoker with them. It took three of them, and I just doubled them and laid them over the top down. Didn't touch the firebox. I didn't want to catch them on fire because it's an offset firebox. But wrapped that smoker with those, and I tell you what, it made a huge difference.
Of course it did.
I was surprised how, because they're not terribly thick, but it was just enough to insulate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it kept the wind off it.
Did you get 30, 40 degrees?
What? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was able to hold about 270 through the night.
What a huge difference.
Yeah, it was. Versus 220, that's a big difference if you're cooking. I mean, my cook time was quote unquote normal, what I had hoped I would get.
You could just make one for it.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But you know, the only challenge was you got the breather holes in the top, and you got to kind of pull those.
That's
blankets
why I say
back.
You could make one. You could you could buy like Home Depot sells these packing quilts.
Yeah.
If you get the really good one, it would only take probably one, and then you could cut out those rings and your bride could seam in the little
edge so it doesn't fray and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you and then sew up the corners.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to be fancy.
Right.
And you just got to be able to open the door.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was doing, was just flipping them back over the top and open the door. But yeah, but again, if you're looking, you ain't cooking, right? So you know what's going on inside of there. And I had my remote thermometers on, so I knew where the meat was going to be. And I only opened it once to wrap them at 150 degrees. And I shut her back down and worked them till they were done, you know? So it
was
good.
Well, you went in my project out there, the log building. I've just got a tarp over it for a roof right now because I'm not putting steel on. But
you could
cook in there if you wanted.
Yeah, right. Just anything out of the wind.
Yes.
And it was cold, though. I mean, there wasn't a lot of wind. I had it kind of tucked in the corner behind my privacy fence. But there, it was still so cold that it just knocks the crap out of that steel smoker. But anyway, all was good. We got it done in time, and we showed up. But anyway, So coming up next, Bob, you got one of your friends, an old friend of the show.
Yeah, Babe Winkleman, going to talk about late season hunt.
All right, stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. We're just babbling about barbecue. And Barbecue Bob, speaking of which, you've got one of our longtime supporters on the line.
Yes, that's right. It's Babe Winkleman from Northern Minnesota. You've probably seen his videos on fishing and hunting. And he's an old friend of mine that I'm very happy to talk to anytime I can, so we're going to do it over the airwaves. Babe, how are you, buddy?
Good.
Well, I think a lot of people have scored some venison this year, and there's still people going out now for late bow and muzzle, and right. I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about the trending of the deer and ruts, second ruts, all that, and some advice from the master of North America.
Okay, well, there is no such thing as the second rut. We could start there.
Yep. So let's dispel that.
You just did. I'm going to surprise you with what happened this year, but it's not unusual.
What's that, babe?
Oh, the rut started about a week and a half into October.
Yep.
And they went crazy in October, and when people weren't expecting it, because everybody always says, well, it happens about that first week in November or so when they go into rut. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's funny because as you and I were talking the other day, I noticed the same thing. And I didn't want to believe they were as early as they were, but it's like I'm seeing hot does coming through, and I had a couple cruisers the next couple of days, and it's like, the rut's on. And I kept telling the guys up at deer camp, the rut's on, and they're like, oh, yeah, it usually starts after Halloween. It's like, no,
I'm telling you,
the deer don't trick or treat.
It's there's a thing that they can do to know when it's going to start. All they got to do is just observe what happens in September.
How's that?
Well, I'm going to tell everybody at the same time. It's the second full moon after the autumnal equinox. That's right. What kicks the rut in.
And when did that happen this year?
I don't have the exact date.
Okay.
But it happened early. I knew that's happened a number of times in just the last few years, that they rutted more in October than they did in November.
I know, but I was at home when that came through, but I don't hunt around my house anymore. They're building too much, so I didn't notice any patterns there other than my pet deer that I feed.
Uh-huh.
So if a guy is going out for muzzle season now in Michigan with black powder or bow, what would be the changes in patterns they might notice?
Well, it's hard for them to notice it. You know, deer are first off pretty sneaky, and they know their environment. They know the environment around them, too.
Could we expect to still see cruisers?
Well, how the rut works is simply this. I mean, I told you what spurs it, and that's that the second full moon after the autumnal equinox. That's what kicks the rut off. And almost without exception, the ones that come into heat first are the biggest, oldest does. And they are bred generally by the biggest, oldest bucks. If that can be arranged, that's the way they try and get it done. Because those, you can take a fawn out of an old buck or an old doe like that that's been bred by a mature buck, and that deer can have 6, 8, even up to 10 points. And I know of one that had 12 points in their first year.
Really?
As a fawn. You know, because that's where the best genetics are, that combination right there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're more brash then when they're doing that. They've got to... Now there's all of the deer can't get bred at one time. There's not a week period, you know, like so many people always say, that first week of November, right in there, that's when they go into the rut. No, it's not. It is based on the moon and what happens with it. And there's books validating that. Well, Deer and Deer Hunting magazine for years put out a calendar. And it would show you just when the rut's going to come based on that.
Right.
And they were right. I studied that thing for about 10 years, and they were right on the nuts every time.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on Jethro and Michigan Talk Network, and we are speaking with Babe Winkleman, the sports freak from northern Minnesota. We'll have to talk fishing at some point, maybe this winter. But so again, what might folks notice? Is there going to be any changes? Is the rut ending? Is it done?
No,
I don't think it's done.
No, it's not done. They can't get them all bred during that period of time. Okay,
I know the feeling.
And it goes through that cycle. But that's when a lot of those fawns, last year's fawns, start coming into heat. One year at our ranch, it was the 26th of February when the rut stopped.
Wow.
On the 25th of February, I had photos of 12 different bucks underneath one big overhanging tree. Now, everything was frozen, so that all they could do was pee or crap on top of the ice underneath that tree, but each one had their own licking branches.
Oh, my gosh.
And the next day it was done. There was not a deer there. And they had been there for, well, I mean, like I said, it was the 26th of February.
They were just having a post-game meeting.
No, it was. They were in rut yet. They were doing rut. They were breeding those fawns.
Can't blame them.
Because, well, all of them come in at different times. And the oldest ones are the ones that come into heat first.
Yeah.
And et cetera. So it's a different game.
So we're out of time for this segment. I would like to speak with your lovely wife next about some cooking ideas. But if you would stick around after hers, the segment after that, I want to talk about this vector-borne disease platform you've built free for public use. Could you do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Babe Winkleman, thanks so much. We're going to speak with your lovely bride here in just a minute. Hold on, folks. We'll be right back.
Okie dokes.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM, Country with a Twist. Barbecue Bob had a little fun with Babe Winkleman, and now we're segueing into the better half, right?
That's right. We get the beauty. We had the beast, and now we get the beauty, Chris Winkleman. How are you, Chrissy?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
So nice to hear your lovely voice. We have a lot of people that have browned down, and maybe they don't know what to do with it, and maybe people don't like eating their wild game because they screw it up. So what would be like a few things you might tell people to do? Because the deer's already processed at this point. It's in their freezer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what would the average guy screw up on, and how could he correct it?
Well, first of all, it always comes down to overcooking it. I mean, having a piece of meat that is just like a bottom of a shoe just sucks. And, you know, people don't know that they got to put a little bit of flavor and they got to put moisture back into that meat. You've cooked it or baked it or whatever you do with the meat, you always want to have it rest. And so you want to make sure you pull it off the grill or whatever you're doing with it early enough so that it can continue to cook while you're resting it. And that's where the process happens, where it gets overcooked and it gets so tough.
So do you ever marinate venison?
I do. I love the flavor of the venison itself. So I'm not, I do it once in a while, but not right. All the time.
Right.
Because, you know, you're putting the soy sauce or you're putting, you know, something sweet on it.
An
it
acid.
Just takes away, yeah, it just takes away the flavor. I mean, the venison is so good the way it is. But I do want to add, you know, the brown is down, but you still have stuff in your freezer that you want to use up.
Yeah.
I highly suggest take that old meat out, go have it made into hot dogs or brats or polishes or whatever, or simply can it yourself. Then you have it year-round whenever you want it.
So you're saying pull the last year's freezer meat out and can it.
You got that right.
Never tried that.
You might as well use it up. Matter of fact, I just did a pickled fish recipe for on the website and or on Facebook as well. And it's like, pull that fish out that's been sitting there that you really don't want to use. Utilize it instead of having to throw it away, because I hate to see anybody waste some precious meat like that.
So what kind of fish would you
turn it into something?
What kind of fish would you pickle?
Oh, you would do northerns, any white fish. Boy, I've done even crappies if I had too many. Normally that's not the case, but I mean, white fish, any white flaky fish.
How about a lake trout?
No, you know what? You could. The only thing is, same with the northern. You know, the Y bones, are there's so many bones, and when you're in the pickling process, that breaks all those bones down. So, you know, you don't have to sit there and try to get each one of them out. You know, the brine is very salty, so that salt just kind of breaks all of those bones down. So, yeah, I highly suggest get into that freezer. And I know I've got a chest freezer, and everything gets to the bottom of it, and then you don't see it for a while. Bring that stuff out and utilize it. It's the best time of the year to do it.
Well, I know a lot of people like pickled herring, but I'm not a fan of lake trout for the most part, because they just, I don't know, maybe pickling would help the flavor.
No, they're kind of greasy too.
Yeah,
they're a little greasy. So those I like to, you know, I like to see those smoked.
Okay.
You know, smoking is a good thing too. And also, if you're able to get any of the smelt, you know, when the run is on, those are also very, very good pickle. I remember sitting on the break wall down in Port Washington, Wisconsin, and fishing, and of course you have to have a couple of brewskis here in Wisconsin.
Yep.
And catching those smelt as fast as you could, and just having a ton of fun, and then pickling them the next day.
Huh.
Let me talk about brewskis and smelt just a minute. I used to go to the UP of Michigan, and we would try to catch smelt on our way to our perch trip.
At the Cut River?
Right. And yeah. So we'd drag all our equipment up there, and we'd get there at midnight, put it all on, stand in that river for 4 or 5 hours, wait for one or two runs, get a couple five-gallon buckets, and move on. Then the brewskis came in, and it's like, there's a lot of guys that have been there already, already cold, already dressed in all that stuff, standing in that river. It's amazing. You could get 2 5-gallon buckets of smelt for a case of beer. So you just set the beer on the shore, walk away with your buckets, and I never had to get cold. And I'm like, that's how I want to dip smelt right there.
But, hey, I'm telling you, you could even go cheaper with a bottle of Boone's Farm.
Yeah.
So back to the venison. Let's say people are shy about maybe a venison roast.
Well, that's where the slow cookers, the pressure cookers, all of those different tools help. You know, I love making soup out of the roasts. I also like making the roast, but I like to put a beef bouillon or beef flavor, you know, added to it.
Right.
Just to give it that little bit more oomph. We're dealing with one of the healthiest piece of meat, which is venison or elk or mule deer, you know, anything like that. When you go and buy the beef, you got the fat in there already. So you have to just make sure that you get the moisture back. That's the most important thing is moisture.
So a little red wine and some better than bouillon?
Yeah, you couldn't go wrong with those two. Mm-hmm. That's for darn sure.
And then I usually throw some onion and fresh garlic in there.
Oh, you always have to have garlic and, yes, and onions.
Celery.
When it comes down to that, you got the potatoes and the carrots and, I mean, all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, and another thing, too, is I like doing with a venison roast is putting it into a slow cooker, but then adding all of the Italian seasonings with some beef broth and turning it into Italian beef sandwiches. You know, nice hot, hard roll or, you know, Italian bread in there, you got that.
Right.
And, of course, from Wisconsin, you want to throw on a couple of slices of cheese.
And a couple of brewskis.
And a couple of brewskis.
It's always time for old style.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? But, yeah, so a lot of people just, you know, they think it's got to be cooked, because they're going to get something from it. They're not. You know, you're just not. You know, parasites are what you're not.
No. No,
you know,
it's the cleanest
so
meat you can find.
There's wives' tales out there about wild game. It sucks, actually.
That's probably one of the purest, cleanest meats you could ever eat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's healthy and it's good for you and it's so versatile. I mean, you can use it for anything that you would use beef for, or even pork, for that matter.
Yeah. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys, and we are talking with Chris Winkleman, and she is an expert. Chris, tell us what shows you have on television and YouTube and the internet right now.
Well, we're on Babe Winkleman's Good Fishing and Outdoor Secrets, which is on the YouTube. You'll see some of the videos there, same with the recipes, the website, Instagram. Boy, you name it, we're out there.
Are you filming at your home in the kitchen?
I had, and yes, I just did the pickling one in my home.
Because you got a new home, I understand, so.
We do.
That's
we
good.
Do. It's hard to leave.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Any parting shots you want to take for the audience here? Any big do's and don'ts that you've heard people make mistakes of?
Well, wait a minute. Let me think of what I've done lately. No, let me tell you, I've got a lot of them. You know, I think what it is just don't underestimate your own thought process when it comes to the, you know, planning a meal with venison or, you know, whitetail. just, you can use it in so many different ways. You can't even imagine. So just open up your mind and think about it a little bit, and I know you're going to love it.
Do you ever grind your own, make sausage, fresh sausage?
We sure do.
Uh-huh.
The best recipe that Babe's parents had, that Babe had while he was growing up, they made it every fall, or, you know, actually in the middle of winter in January.
Wow.
With the family. They get all the kids together, and, I mean, the last time I think we did it, it's been a couple of years now, but, oh, boy, I think it was like 300 and some pounds we had one day. We were just doing it, and it's so fun to do because you have to keep adding more seasoning, more garlic, more seasoning, more water, more everything to make the sausage. But then you always have to keep trying it. So the frying pan's going, and everybody's trying and tasting it. And then,
nice.
Of course, you know, you continue to go on with the batch.
That's wonderful. Chrissy, it's so nice to talk to you. I'm glad you got a new house. And the next segment, Babe's going to come back and talk about your new platform.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You guys have a wonderful day.
Okay.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Now hit me!
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys at the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in today. This is we're very lucky to have the Winkleman family with us today. Babe talked a little bit about that late season hunt, and then Chrissy just a minute ago with all the recipes and what to do with all your venison. And Bob, we got Babe back now, right?
That's right. Babe, I believe your daughter helped you with this too, but I know she does your social marketing, and but you've got a new platform. Why don't you tell people about the public service you're doing?
Well, actually, we have three new platforms. We built a new website for our company, for their corporation, for Babe Winkleman Productions, and it's the way to access it is winkleman.com. But inside of that website live two other things. One of them is an online store with some incredibly unique products. The best jaw spreader that has ever been in the fishing market, for example. It just ratchets, and just a lot of good products. The best knife sharpener I've ever seen, other things. But then, and to get to them, you go to winkleman.com, and it takes you to the landing page of our corporate thing. And then if you want to go into the store, you just press the button that says store, and you're into it.
Easy enough.
But the second thing that is in there, living in there, is Babe Winkleman's Vector-Borne Disease Information Center. Now, they might say, well, okay, well, what's a vector? Well, a wood tick is one kind of a vector. So are spiders, so are mites, so are other things like that. Anything that can bite you and secrete something into you.
So why is this a passion of yours?
Well, I was the first person to ever tell the United States about Lyme disease. And at that time, that was the only disease known that ticks would give you. And that was discovered in 1973, and I started on a program in 1975 where we're trying to inform America for 5 years on behalf of S.C. Johnson Company. And America just blew it off.
ticks were just a nuisance if somebody grabbed a cigarette lighter and burnt it with it, if they had them crawling on them or something, or cut it with a knife or etc. But they would just take them and pull them off and kill them. And in that process of pulling off, if it was a tick that had disease inside of it and you pull it off like that, well, the head stays in and so does the disease. You got to get a tool that takes them where you can lift them straight out and straight up to pump the whole thing out of there, and you don't just jerk it. You just let it be one steady thing so it lets go to get it out of you. But anyhow, the vector-borne... Here's the problem we've got. We've got a medical profession out there that doesn't give a damn whether we live or die. All they care about is how much money they can make off of it. And that's not all of them. There's a lot of good doctors and good nurses, but the whole medical thing as a whole is all based around money and money and money and nothing else.
Yeah, we kind of went through 3 years of that.
It's a shame what's going on with that. But in that process, so many things are going on. Now, everybody's heard now of Lyme disease and know that it's dangerous and it can affect you and so forth. How many people have ever heard of Powassan? Have you?
Just from you.
Okay. Powassan is a disease that the... you get inside of you and it attacks your brain, a type of bacteria that, and it attacks your brain. And it is the average person who goes unchecked because nobody figured out what they had, die within about 30 days. It kills them that fast. Lyme disease certainly is not that fast as a rule. But there's a lot of different diseases.
I imagine Powassan is also misdiagnosed.
Yeah, all of them are misdiagnosed because they're not given a damn enough. Here's the real crux. Anyway, here's the big problem. Have you heard of Bartonella?
Yes.
Okay. There are 40 different strains of Bartonella. Every strain has different symptoms. So if you have Bartonella, you have got to find out which strain you have.
And how would somebody get that? How would you contract that disease?
Again, by a vector.
Okay. Explain a vector.
A vector, like I said, it can be a spider. It can be a mite. It can be a fleas.
Ticks.
It can be... or ticks. I almost screwed up there. anything like that that can bite you and inject something into you. Some people are claiming that mosquitoes are vectors. Well, the mosquito puts this probe into you, but it doesn't inject anything into you. It sucks your blood out. So I don't think that that's the case. But that's just my thoughts, and I may very well be wrong. But I don't think it's... that mosquitoes do it, but it's the other things that do. And how you... Here's the problem. With the 40 different strains, the medical profession has tests for only 3 of those 40 strains. So if you're feeling bad and you might think it's a Bartonella, you go into the doctor, and the odds are 37-3 that you're going to get a false negative. Because they can only... Their test will only show up positive or negative for 3 of the 40 strains.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys, and we're talking with Babe Winkleman about his new platform on Winkleman.com, and it's vector-borne diseases. And right now we're talking about Bartonella. And now we're listening to your dogs.
Oh, yeah.
So
that might have been a deer walking across their yard.
Yeah. So if there's 40 different versions and they can only test for 3, what is a person supposed to do?
According to the medical profession, probably roll over and croak. You know, again, they don't care.
But what is the solution for the average person who has determined that their test is faulty or? They want to try and cure themselves. Are there cures?
Well, they can, yes. But, I mean, that's a process, too. But they can find out on our web, on our Vector-Borne Disease Information Center, here's all 40 strains of Bartonella. Here's exactly the symptoms to look for. And this has all been approved by certain doctors out there that are very good that do really care. But there's not very many of them. And we've lost three of the best ones in the last 6 months in the United States.
Huh.
So there's that part of it to deal with as well. But over here is all of the different treatments for Bartonella and ways to herbal ways or we don't do much with big pharma chemicals because I don't know of anything that they have that really takes anything out when it comes to vector-borne diseases. That doxycycline works for like Lyme disease and so forth. But
so
they're on, you're better off with natural cures, I believe. And they're all listed in there too as well.
So then
every
we want
different disease that's known is in there. And it does the same thing. Here's what it is. Here's all the symptoms. Here's all of the nuances, et cetera.
So the takeaway for our listeners is to go to Winkleman.com and check out the segment. But check the whole site out for one thing. Everything you do is on there. But if you want to get more informed on these diseases that can inflict you, I have a niece that has one of those, and it's ruined her life. But Babe Winkleman, you're a good man. It's always nice to talk to you. I'll talk to you in a day or two, and we'll square away a couple of these other issues we're dealing with, and we appreciate your time.
Okay, give me another 30 seconds, all right?
I don't have it, buddy. I'm sorry. We're up against a hard clock. It's a network clock.
Okay.
I'll have to edit this part out.
All right, because they need to, when they go to the landing page, they need to look on the top, and it says vector-borne diseases.
Yeah.
They click on that, and that's what takes them right into that website.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week, and get out there, be safe, and enjoy the holiday season.